All right. Welcome, everybody. We've already called our March 16, 2017 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education to order. So at this point, I'd like everybody to stand up and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, and thank you, Mrs. Kaffenbarger and Bunsell, for hosting this meeting. I would accept a motion to accept our agenda, adopt our agenda for the meeting tonight. Motion by Mr. Smith. Second by Mrs. Powers. Roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And next up, we have a presentation from Bunsell Middle School.
So, I brought lots of folks with me tonight, as you can see.
Good.
So I have two, like, mini presentations that I wanted to present to you tonight, focusing on the first goal of our strategic plan on students, student performance, instruction, those kinds of things. So two very different, I guess, if you will, things that are happening. One, the second part will be focused on instruction in a really, really neat and engaging lesson on the United States Constitution that I had the pleasure of seeing with Daniel Sakamoto. And then the first one that I'm going to present to you, or they are going to present to you, is on something new that's kind of been a vision of our guidance department to start looking at how we can utilize students in the building to peer tutor other students. And so if I can have Mrs. Kavor and Mrs. Cotter come up, please, with your folks. And I want them to talk a little bit about peer tutoring, where we're at. And you're going to get to hear from some students who are doing the tutoring, and some students who are being tutored. The time frame that we've, years ago when we talked about this, we put a block of time in our master's schedule that was, we called it plus time, if you remember. Mm-hmm. So these folks have given up or allowed themselves during that plus time, so we're not losing any instruction, if you will. Mm-hmm. So they're either going to be in enrichment or the remediation intervention, or now they're in peer tutoring. And so guidance department kind of took this and ran with it and created another opportunity. And I think some really neat things have come out of it as a direct result. Things that we expected, maybe. Some things that we didn't expect that have been, that's the exciting part. So with that said, I'm going to have Mrs. Kavor and Mrs. Cotter introduce their students to us. And okay, very good.
Good evening. We have embarked on a new project with students at Bunsell. As Mrs. Kaffenbarger explained, we have this time built into our day that allows teachers to provide some additional remediation intervention to students who are in need of that. And students who are not necessarily in need of that, they get to go to an additional class. Who doesn't want another class, right? So but they're fun classes. It enriches their experience here. And as the year progressed, Mrs. Cotter had just this genius moment one day. Said, you know, we're missing out on a group of kids who aren't necessarily dealing with skill deficits, but they're not performing where we would think they would be. when you look at them on paper, you think, wow, this kid should be knocking that out of the ballpark, A-B student. Mm-hmm. But they weren't getting there. So we started to dig a little deeper into that idea and found that a lot of these kids were just struggling with getting school done, getting homework done, studying for tests in an appropriate and useful way. And that's kind of how peer tutoring came to be. So we have tutors and we have tutees. So we worked with teachers. We looked at some benchmark data from our beginning of the school year and also our midway point to see which kids met that criteria. They weren't performing. We talked to teachers about their grades. Why was this going on? And so we paired them up with some wonderful tutors. So every tutee has a tutor that is specific to that student, and they meet, and magic happens most of the time. It really has been, I think, a very interesting opportunity for us to see some of these kids develop relationships and to see their progress. We meet the last period of the day, our seventh grade party in here. There's about 40 of them. And we're in here. Automation and robotics is on this side of the library. The tutors take over the rest of the two teams, and they get it done. They'll explain more about that. So I'm going to let her give you some good facts.
Well, one of the greatest things, we just finished our first session of peer tutoring. So the students met for the third quarter. So it began right at the beginning of third quarter and ended at the end. So we were able to see grades and compare and monitor students. And in looking at that, we noticed that 100% of our tutors improved grades in at least one of their four classes who were being tutored in peer tutoring. So we are thrilled. I mean, that's just an incredible result. We were looking more at numbers, and over half of the students being tutored showed increases in each core area. So dividing all the classes in ELA, there was a 54% increase as a subject, and over half of all of them. So we were very, very excited to see the results and the hard work and the collaboration, which I think is the other major positive outcome that I don't know that we were planning to or expecting to see that piece of it, but watching students who maybe are not usually in a social environment together, developing a partnership, working together, becoming social outside of peer tutoring, communicating in classes, and working together has been really incredible to see. So with that said, Carson will tell us a little bit more.
Hi, my name is Carson Kane, and I'm a tutor for 8th grade at here at Bunsell Middle School. And I'd just like to take a moment and tell you about the basics of peer tutoring. For the 8th grade, we start at the beginning of the day, and then the 7th grade starts at the end of the day. And for 8th graders, we go in and we go to our homeroom classroom from 7:40 to 8:05, and then the rest of the time we have dedicated to peer tutoring. Now, we help them with homework assignments or other assignments, missing assignments they need to catch up on. And then every Monday, we check in with them and we review their grades, and we try to set goals for what we want to do for the end of the week. The only day we don't meet is on Friday, and that's it. Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Hannah, and this is Rose Tutor. This is Caroline. And being a tutor, it was a really cool experience to see Caroline's grades go up from the beginning of the quarter till the end. And I was able to grow in my friendship with her because I got to talk with her while we were working. And it was a great experience because just to see her grow in classes was, like, it was awesome because I could say that I helped her reach her goals that she had.
It was a really great opportunity because I got to see my grades grow and my friendship kind of grow. Everything was a lot easier in classes because I knew I was able to get to the place where I was. It made me and my family a lot happier to see my grades grow as they did, which was really cool. And a great opportunity.
Hi, I'm Maddie, and I tutored Logan, who was not able to make it tonight. One of our main keys of success was using teamwork. That helped us a lot with, like, identifying our strengths and our weaknesses, and being able to work on our weaknesses together to improve our grades and how well we're doing on missing assignments. We also marked goals for him, for goals for assignments, getting missing assignments in, and getting grades up. We improved 3 out of his 4 core class grades from failing to passing with just using teamwork, which I thought was pretty cool to see. Mm-hmm. That teamwork, just 2 people working together could make mm-hmm. all of that successful.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to interrupt for a second if I could, Will. I'm so sorry. She's got her hands full. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
But they work so well together, and I thought we had a minute to come, so I'm just heartbroken that he's not here. But they work so well together. It is really a cool thing to see, because you guys aren't really friends, but you are kind of now, right?
Yeah.
And they just do an amazing job together, and I think it benefits Natty as well. So it's amazing. Sorry, Bill. You're amazing too, of course.
I will, as Maddie was saying, it was always nice to see our teamwork improve, our friendship improve, and his grades went from 3 barely passing to flying colors mm-hmm. in the span of those times, and to see our friendship improve is the greatest thing.
I think that the reason why it worked was my issue wasn't that I didn't know how to do it. It was that I wasn't following through, and because he was checking up on me and making sure that I was doing everything I needed to, my grades started to get much better.
Hi, I'm Adam. I'm an 8th grader. Chris and I tutor didn't come to this, but he did write a letter for me to read in front of you guys.
Okay.
So, do that. So, peer tutoring helped greatly. It helped me bring my grades up and understand problems better. Adam was great. Was a great tutor because he was always there if I struggled. Also, he worked with me so well that he could always help me, and because of that, he helped and pushed me to work harder and get things done. Adam made me more successful in many classes, mostly in math, but helped me to bring all my grades. In conclusion, peer tutoring should be a main enrichment we can take over and over. Another thing is, tutors should be rewarded. Tutors should be rewarded since they can help during, because they could be doing their own thing, but instead they stay and help others. Thanks, Adam, for all you've done. Sincerely, Hunter.
Wow.
I really liked peer tutoring too, because Hunter's grades went up, and I really thought that was cool because I was actually helping him. I wasn't there just doing nothing. So I'm glad I was actually helping him.
So I think again one of the greatest things about this is the relationships that they built with one mm-hmm. another, and it is being counselors, we kind of like that that they're nice to each other and mm-hmm. get along, and so they just are fantastic. So we're lucky to have all of them. Anything yeah. else?
And this is your inaugural group, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you guys are the guinea pigs, and wow, it sounds like you've knocked it out of the park.
Yes.
I mean, it brings tears to my eyes listening to you guys. So.
How do you get, you talk about working together and getting a schedule, somebody checking out, making sure that you're getting things up. How do you come up with those kinds of strategies?
That was basically our counselors here. They're brilliant ideas.
We can hold them just for that.
No.
But he gets A's.
Yeah.
I think it was every Monday we do a sheet, and it checks up on everything. So it's any major tests or quizzes that we're doing, any things that we need to improve on, and how our grades are doing for that week. So it lets us set goals for where we are and where we need to be.
Nice. It sounds like it's something that you're going to be able to use moving forward for the rest of your life, actually, really. That's great. And so you guys, you feel like... Sorry.
Yes. Totally awesome. Proud of all of you.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, guys.
Wonderful activity. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So the second part of this presentation is with Mr. Sakamoto and some students from his class. As he took on the challenge this year of revamping the Constitution project that they do every year, decided that it needed a little more something-something, and so essentially reinvented it and pulled in so many of the things that we've been talking about in terms of a learner-centered classroom. Once he got the organization component addressed, it was the kids were doing all of the work and all of the learning, and he was in a facilitator role throughout the rest of the project, so which was really cool to see. So, Daniel, I'll have you come up and introduce your students.
Sure. Thank you. Daniel
Sakamoto,
I know
some of you. All right. Hi, Daniel. Good to see you again.
Yeah, nice to see you. Daniel Sakamoto.
As a teacher, I really appreciate the peer tutoring program, too, because with 57 minutes and 30 kids, there's just not enough time for me to give the one-on-one instruction that some students need. So I have also noticed from my point of view, a lot of kids are getting better grades in my classes just because of the peer tutoring program. So good job to Warren Scott and all the peer tutors and all the hard work that they're doing in that program. So. So I'm going to introduce the project that we started this year. The Constitution Unit is one of the largest units that we do all year. In fact, it's almost an entire quarter. And in the past, the kids have had fun with the old version of the Constitution Project, but I figured we could maybe just revamp it a little bit. And so I'm going to kind of give you the outline of what... Maybe not. All right, thank you. So... I'll start with the essential questions for the unit. How did the principles of government established in the Constitution in 1787, 230 years ago, remain alive today? And then, if we could change anything about our Constitution, what would it be? And how would we go about changing it? So I've listed the standards here, if anybody's interested. And I think the essential questions, they're also kind of speak to the learning objectives too. Now it's an entire unit, so there's a lot of learning objectives, but the really big ones that I wanted to cover were learning about, understanding, and then moving on to higher level thinking, like analysis and application of these three principles that we've identified, and it would be separation of powers, representative democracy, and federalism. Those are the three big ones that we picked out of the Constitution to focus on. And then I really wanted to connect it to today. All right, I wanted to make it relevant for students today. And then the second essential question kind of speaks to like how our government works a little bit. So more of the what do people in Congress or what do the three branches actually do all day. So, and then so those are the essential questions that I gave the students. But my essential question when I sat down to make this unit or this project was, how do I get a bunch of 14-year-olds interested and engaged in learning about a 230-year-old piece of paper? Now, I've got a copy of the Constitution up on my wall in my room, and a student has never walked in and looked at it and be like, I want to learn about that. So it's not the most exciting thing to look at, right? So So I've broken it down into about five steps, and I'm going to have my five helpers here kind of explain the five steps of this unit. So, Adam?
Hello.
Adam.
So what he kind of did for us was, like, he'd share us these documents via Google Drive,
that kind of like explain the Constitution, except not using that old English that's half impossible to understand. So then he'd go and fill it out, and then he'd do checks on Schoology, so that way we knew we were getting it, and then, you know, help us if we didn't. You know, we learned about federalism, and so it was about, and you had us go and research things for all leading up to the new website.
Yeah, so this was more of like the content. This, and like Adam said, I shared these Google Docs with them and then they would fill them out. They were basically templates that they had to complete for about 3 weeks. And so then we go to the next one. The next one, Alec.
So like while we were learning about, like after we learned about federalism, separation of powers, and representative democracy, he had us find articles that related to them, and then once we found the article and read through them, we summarized them, and we like put them into our own words. And then when we actually like we had to actually go through the Constitution and find lines in the Constitution that related to our articles, and so. Eventually, we had to write our own articles, and then we basically used the articles that we already had written to help us write those articles. And then we also put it in Google Doc, so we didn't have to like take our binders home every night, and we could just get on our computers at home and do it instead of bringing home our binders.
And then can you just briefly, so this was your separation of powers article, what looks like you used the Washington Post. Do you remember what current event that one was about? It's kind of hard to read on.
No, I think
right, but remember you had to do all three
on
this part of the state.
My separation of powers one, I'm pretty sure I did the one about an article about the travel ban and that how a lot of like people didn't like it, and it was eventually starting to lead up to the Supreme Court. And that was basically the Supreme Court, like the judicial branch, checking the executive branch,
their part, like the Constitution, was reporting on like current events in the Constitution. So we had to relate parts of the Constitution with like a current event or a current issue that's happening. And it was like a lot easier than having to like take a bunch of papers and write up them out. Like it was really not helpful. Like, on these, they kind of told you what to do, which was a lot easier than trying to figure it out on your own. And, so there's like steps in it, and each step, like it just asks you kind of what to write, and then you had peers like grade you on it, and they had to proof read what you set on there, so that was a lot easier than having to pass over the papers and just like
Yeah, technology, right? When it works, yeah. Let's see, so this is your separation of powers article. Do you remember what you wrote about in there?
I think it was the travel ban, right now. So, I wrote about the travel ban, and I just related it to separation of powers because the judicial branch was checking the executive branch because they were either, like, I think they said you can't do that, like, that's against the Constitution, and the Supreme Court said that. So,
we'll find out now.
And just summarize it, and we would use the website, and then
it was pretty easy to use the website because you could just add the different pages to the website, and then you would just click on the website in different spots and just type in all the information that you got, and then you could like type where you got it from, was in the Constitution. So we just basically put it all in there, and we put in pictures, and it's pretty easy to use. So you can have several different pages, including like the main three topics, and then the polls and comments. So like the polls is just kind of like.
Yeah, you guys came up with your own questions for those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they completely made these from scratch, these websites. Wow. And then before we move on, I just want to show off Brooklyn's comic because she's a very good artist.
Oh,
okay. And put it on there. This is an example built here. Can you, I don't know if you can read that or not, but this was Patrick's bill. And I told them, you know, the Patriot Act, that's an acronym and everything. So we had a couple, and you supported this bill, right? So I thought this one was very creative. They called this the Democracy Act. And I don't know, can you read that or is it too blurry?
So Patrick, he made this bill and he made an acronym for it, the Democracy. He said, declare executive orders only by Congress and reviewed by a Supreme Court by the United States to carefully make laws for years.
And then so they wrote out the bills, and then they would all prepare arguments. I showed them like a quick clip of C-SPAN so they could see what to expect. And they would come up and they would present, and mm-hmm. then we'd take it to a floor debate and they could argue about it. And I think the arguments were good. Mm-hmm. And then they would vote on it. And yeah, not a lot of bills passed, but I think that's the way it is in Congress too. So, so the reason that I really like this project, this idea of studying the Constitution and then they're writing these articles and they're making like a fake news website. By the way, this is kind of I thought this up before all the fake news. they made this news website and uploaded their articles there, and then we did this like kind of mock session of Congress just so they could see how Congress kind of worked. I feel like this was more learning through experience of the process that a bill goes through to become a law. They kind of did that actually. Then we did a couple of other mini simulations where it was they were the three branches, and we had to make new rules for the school, and they took on the role of all three branches, and they passed these bills around, and, you know, they could be killed at any time, or sent back, or vetoed, or whatever. And then making history relevant, that's, like I said, it's the essential question. Like, this is not something that the students are super excited about when I say we're learning about the Constitution, so any way that I can do that is always fun. And then the engagement piece, I don't know, did you guys like making the website? Was that kind of something new? Probably haven't done that in other classes. So, and then from my point of view, the debates where we were talking about the bills, it was very interesting to see my three classes do this. The second class, they were all really into it and everything. And then the fifth class, fifth period started, and it was like, I felt bad for these small group of kids because they were more conservative, and most of the class was liberal, and they just kept, you know, all their bills kept dying and everything. But then eighth period rolled around, it was the exact opposite, right? And it was a more conservative class, and there were only a couple of liberal kids in there, and then they couldn't get anything to work. And the way that we set it up was, okay, so fifth period bills, you're going to be the House of Representatives. The bills you pass, they're going to go to eighth period, it's going to be the Senate, so they have to pass both. And we haven't done that second part yet, and I have a feeling we're not passing any bills. And then just the personalized learning, like Adam was saying, this Google Docs idea came. I've been doing that. I've been experimenting with it all year long, but this is the first unit where everything I gave them, it was essentially a paperless unit. And it kind of gave them the freedom to kind of work at their own pace. Of course, there were deadlines here and there. But like Adam said, they didn't have to really worry about organizing a folder and taking everything home. They could work on their home as long as they had internet access or something. And then just really a lot of skill building in this unit that I was really trying to push on them. So just analyzing primary sources. Like Adam said, that Constitution is very difficult to read. But we kind of broke it down and we kind of got through it. You know, it's probably a little bit easier to read now for you guys. And then just multiple perspectives with the debates, and they've got two sides on every argument. The first article, they had to present both sides of this argument, so if they were presenting on the travel ban, or the electoral college, or nominating a Supreme Court judge or something, they had to know what both sides were going to say and present that in both of their articles. And then they could move on to the opinion piece, whatever they personally felt about the issue. And then a lot of reading and writing in this one, which is always a good skill to work on. Research and debate, that's always a good skill too. Like they said, some of those arguments got a little heated. And then just the technology piece and the web design, I think that was just kind of a fun activity. And then a lot of collaboration. They worked in groups, and then we kind of jigsawed, and they had to work in committees. And then from those committees, subcommittees formed, and you know, half the committee was for a bill, half the committee was against a bill, and they'd make their own bills and everything. So I thoroughly enjoyed this. And I'm not going to say everything was perfect, but for the first time ever doing this, I think it went very well, and I feel like I know, you know, how to tweak it a little bit and make it a lot better in the future. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed this unit. Awesome. I think that's all I have. Anything you guys
want to
add?
Sorry, he said he enjoyed this. How about you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
part of it?
Yeah.
Which part? So, what's the trick to remembering to respect each other's opinion?
Yeah.
Did you figure that out? Because maybe you could pass it on to.
No, they did very well with that. I was, you know, the kids were passionate, uh-huh. But they did very well with respecting mm-hmm. each other's opinions. And it was like best friends. They'd be arguing. You know,
okay.
Yeah. It was right. Funny to see.
I love the concept of having them defend both sides of an
right.
argument, because it leads to a lot of critical thinking and
right.
Kind of have to think about things from a different perspective.
And some excellent skills for future debaters.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Did any of you find that your opinion changed as you looked at an issue? That you started out on one side, and then by the time you really investigated all about it, you moved?
Maybe a little bit. Yeah. You see the other side a little bit more, like
understanding with, but you're still kind of like mm-hmm. Thank you. Good job.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Ferris, I'd like to thank you as well for bringing your students out here for us tonight as well. I always like to have the opportunity to showcase what happens here at Bunsell Middle School in this, and I like that to be from the students' perspective. We are very fortunate and blessed here to have great kids and
mm-hmm.
great teachers, and I appreciate, and great parents. So thank you for bringing them out. And kids, thank you as well. I appreciate it. And Mrs. Kabor, and Mrs. Cotter, and Mr. Sakamoto wherever you went. There you go.
Okay.
So thanks.
Yeah. Well,
I'm impressed with the presentation, public speaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I like the way they all came up and shook our hands.
Mm-hmm. Very impressive. I asked them outside if they were nervous before we came in. They said, most of them said, yeah, but then I got it, and I said, it's okay, so am I. So it's all good. Mm-hmm. It's all good. Mm-hmm.
You did a wonderful job.
I know.
Thank you so much.
It's always exciting to see what you're going to bring us every year. Because, I mean, every year it's like you've got these big new ideas. And I love that it's coming from Mrs. Cotter and Mrs. Gabor and Mr. Sakamoto. I mean, I think it's just a really nice culture here where you encourage innovation and collaboration. So.
Yep, I'm okay with all of those things and say,
so are
you
we.
You want to try it, just go with it, and we'll figure it out on the back end and not to suppress. That's really important.
Right.
So it's kind of fun. Yeah. If it doesn't work, then we'll figure it out and we'll fix it and move forward.
That's right. Well, we appreciate it. Thanks so much. And now the room will clear. I can't believe they don't want to stay.
Thank you.
No, okay. No public participation?
No.
All right. Next up on our agenda, we have the superintendent's report. Mrs. Mankins.
So, just wanted to highlight a couple of things. First of all, the beginning of the month, I was able to take part in a Capitol Hill briefing. It was March 1st through March 3rd. During that time, I had the opportunity to meet with Jason Rotel, the senior White House advisor for the Trump administration, and Ebony Lee, which she works directly with DeVos as her key anchor person. So spent time with them talking. And really the group that I went with was part of it's called College and High School Alliance. The idea is to promote access to high school students to college coursework. And across the nation, it's probably not as popular as we're doing here in Marysville. So the idea is to try to trigger that across the nation. And so I was asked to go as a practitioner and give examples and was able to share the work we're doing actually in both high schools around College Credit Plus and talk about some of our opportunities, including pathways that lead to multiple credentials and possible in-degrees and et cetera. So it was a great opportunity to kind of highlight the great things that our community is doing. We were able to talk about our student who's mentoring at Honda, first time Honda's taken a high school student. And there's a large interest right now in Capitol Hill around the whole idea of career tech and the workforce development side, so certainly could speak to that quite a bit.
How many people were in that group?
So in the total group, on the panel itself, there were six of us. Okay. And then in our total group, there were also some lobbyists included. So there were probably about 15 of us from across the nation, some Colorado, Massachusetts. We were kind of from all over. So we also met with Tim Ryan's office and Rob Portman's office. And then the actual briefing, there were probably, I would guess, 100, 150 people that attended, and really from a variety of different backgrounds, from teacher union representation to college higher ed representation. So it's a great opportunity, again, to kind of tell our story and, talk about some of the highlights. In the panel, there were four practitioners and then two researchers, and the researchers basically validated our stories and said, these are not unique examples. Places that have early college models are finding the same success as we're hearing about on this panel. The issue is there just aren't enough of them. Mm-hmm. So when we're thinking about, and certainly some are more developed than ours, so they had already had kids go into college, and they had persistence rates and all those types of things as data points. So it's a pretty great opportunity to show off and highlight our district and community. So, stadium project, we met Tuesday with our first community session on that. We're off to a good start. We really have a steering committee And then three subcommittees. So we have a technical committee that I've kind of referred to as the nuts and bolts group that is really tearing into the diagram and pushing our thinking about where things go and why things go there and what might be better and those type of pieces. And that group has committed to meeting weekly for quite a while.
Wow.
There are a lot of things to kind of hash out and questions to ask. And so things, for example, like by moving the concession stand under the home stands, you know, where do we want to put that? Do we want to put it closer? How do we want to impact visibility? If they don't see it, they won't come. Those kind of questions. So we made some great headway there. We have a marketing and finance committee that are kind of combined right now, but they're also going to separate out. So they're brainstorming kind of our actual slogan and marketing side and identifying, how we want to approach each one of those drives. So, you know, we've said the whole time that basically, you know we have the paver part, you know, as a part of the parking lot project. That's more the end game for us, you know, like we only have this much left to raise. So we have that piece, but we also talked about the opportunity to engage in partnerships and naming rights and those type of activities. We have just a really interesting cross-section. We have some parents that don't have kids in school yet, so I would say pre-K in another year their kids are going to be in school, to some who have been in the community for years and years, so they give a great perspective on tradition and things we want to think about as we move down that path. So pleased with the outcome of that. Wanted to let you know that the high school mentoring program is underway with our fourth graders at Maven. They've gone twice, and we've already received positive feedback. We linked the high school peer with the student in fourth grade based on interest. We did a Google Doc for both sets of students, a match, and that's been the key. The younger students are like, oh, yeah, my person rides a horse and is in, 4-H, and so it's been a really great opportunity, and so we're making headway. They did a lesson on kind of a bigger group lesson on some asset building, and they will be going again, I think, in about 2 weeks. So.
Okay. How many's in that? Approximately how many mentors are we
how
talking
many mentors
about?
We have 50
wow.
mentors, roughly.
Okay, and is it a one-on-one?
No, it's 3-1.
3-1?
Yeah.
Okay, so 3.
So
okay.
The commitment for the high school kid is that you really can't miss, right? So the idea is this
right.
group of students. So coaches have been flexible in letting students out of practice. It's been a really positive. So what we want to do is next year really put it across the district.
Right.
But the issue really is the number of mentor students and how we might identify a new group just beyond the leadership group that Sean and Jim
They might want to come and talk to Bunsold's
mentor
group, you know, and get some tips from them.
Right. I love that program.
Yeah, it's we're really excited. Dr. Phil and his group came in and trained, and they actually did the Kernels for Life kind of type training with the high school students, so they were prepared to deal with different behaviors of fourth graders. And
right.
Really, we haven't had to use anything because it's like the fourth graders can't take their eyes off the high school students.
I believe it.
Okay.
Awesome. Just congratulations. We had a lot of groups competing, choir, band. We had students in JASCO. We certainly had a great showing at the wrestling tournament again. Mm-hmm. So we'll be honoring those state-level people in May and June. We were doing it with Good Apple, which was making it quite a lot, so we looked to shift it a little bit later. So just congratulations to all of those students engaged in that. I know our choir is headed to a state competition later in April as well. We had our first graduation 2018 meeting. So when we're thinking about, I know it's only 2017, but when we're thinking about the two schools coming together for graduation, we've started to have those meetings. We went over things from, robes to stage and some things that might change. So we really look to make a student-driven ceremony. Both principals were passionate about putting students in the limelight. So instead of Tom, for example, kind of emceeing the ceremony themselves, students, seniors, will be taking on that role. So had a great meeting. It was very exciting. Everyone's ready to move forward with kind of that one graduating class concept. So excited to get that going. But we'll continue those as we move forward through the year. Alternative schools, so Ashley has offered and they have accepted. Chris Craig is transferring out of the high school as an intervention specialist. And Jennifer Hinder is transferring out of the early college building as an English teacher. They have already started meeting weekly to start planning and developing curriculum and modules. They've been reaching out to community partners. They have a meeting with Dr. Phil about doing some mental health services in the building. So again, Ashley will, and team, I imagine, will be here in May to kind of give us a better scale. They're working on a name so we can quit calling it just the alternative school. Mm-hmm. So that work is well underway. I would also just like to extend my congratulations again. Earlier this month, we had a dinner, an OSBA dinner, where we recognized Dick and Sue both for their outstanding leadership as board members. So certainly you do a great job of representing our community and being champion for our kids. So I just wanted to congratulate you one more time.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Did you say anything about Orlando?
No, prior to Capitol Hill, Kathy and Heather McLaughlin and Ashley and I had the opportunity to present at a national conference in Orlando on the work we're doing around personalized learning. We were also able to establish a partnership with a school in Maine, and that school is a little more advanced on the competency-based side as far as laying out the standards and building rubrics based on the learning outcomes. And so we're probably a little further advanced on the student-centered classroom and growth mindset piece. So we made a great connection at the conference after our presentation, and we're going to work together collaboratively and try to build some of the pieces together. So we're trying to learn from their mistakes and mm-hmm. have them coach us up a little bit and vice versa. So it's an exciting partnership. But our presentation was well received. We've actually already had a school from Cincinnati that's going to come up and visit, and a school from Alabama has reached out to come and visit. They'll be visiting Navin and the early college building, and probably one other elementary to look at some elements of personalized learning.
To go back to the alternative high school for a second, is the concept like with the early college high school that it's really just one high school with three locations, or is it going to be more separate and more like two high schools?
Yeah, perfect. So the alternative school falls under the umbrella or the IRN, which is the accountability model for the high school.
Okay.
So it will not have a separate. Right now, the early college and high school have two separate IRNs.
Okay.
Since the majority of the kids are coming out of the traditional high school, that's why they would keep the other umbrella.
What is IRN?
I guess
basically it's the accountability number. So it's the number that relates to Marysville High School. So every
Department of Education probably has a list for every district.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, talking.
Yeah,
education.
That's okay. It's kind of hard to avoid.
I also,
once you get them, they're easy.
That's right.
Right.
It's just getting them.
Yeah. the quality profile. We all received our quality profile too, just in the last week or so. I think. Did you get that? And I just wanted to kind of I really like the layout of that. I like the way there was, you know, kind of highlighting the academics and innovation and community partnerships and the whole child and. You know, it's continuing to share that theme, that strategy throughout the district. So
I think the big thing we're looking for there is certainly we're proud of our report card, but we think that certainly in Marysville we're proud that we're much more than just a report card.
Right.
And so that's our opportunity to kind of highlight those other opportunities that students have and our growing innovation. Mm-hmm. So a lot of communities are kind of using a model similar, and we've received very positive feedback from that as well.
going back to the athletic plans and so forth, I had a chance to be at the high school today, and we've got 78 girls in the girls' track team.
Wow.
And I believe somewhere in the 60s in the boys' track team. And then, so they're outrunning everybody's old into the old field. Mm-hmm. And then I come out here, and I don't know, I lost track. So I tried to count. There was one group of lacrosse players down this side of the building. There was another group of lacrosse players behind the building, and there were some that were circling the baseball field, and so forth. So it's nice to see on a nice day the kids outside running around having a good time. And I'm excited about looking at and considering some of the possibilities for the future.
Mm-hmm. I know, I that kind of reminded me, because I had asked about, I know when you originally started this, you kind of did a survey of some of the surrounding schools, so when you have a chance, maybe
send out some. Yeah, I will send that out. We did a survey of the different complexes. We would be the only complex that reported back that would have its own track stadium. Now, we did get some feedback, so we're looking at some different examples. If we put the track back in, what's the cost benefit with the bleachers.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of looking at some pieces with that. So that could change as a result of some of the feedback we received. But we have an entire layout of our Central Ohio number of schools with turf and et cetera that I can forward to you.
Yeah. Okay. I love the way that you've set up these committees. You know, I think it's kind of proven itself in the past, but just getting some other ideas. And so...
Well, a lot
I look forward. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. All right. Treasurer's report.
I attended a seminar Monday this week. It's kind of a five-year forecast seminar / kind of an economic update. Talked about the state budget a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting the economic update for the state. You know, a lot of the updates I've been hearing from the state kind of paint a bad picture, whereas all the real economic data show a pretty positive picture looking at housing values, those kinds of, all the different data they're looking at are showing a positive, so it's kind of really looking at the cuts in personal income tax is what really is, you know, kind of put us behind a little bit on the revenue side. I think kind of the update on state budget is really, we still don't really know much, but still kind of the concern is kind of taking money from those cap districts and giving it back to the guarantee districts. So, you know, kind of keep an eye on that and see where we go with that. Speaking of the five-year forecast, that process is kind of getting underway right now for the May forecast. Next week, I'll be setting up a finance committee meeting for sometime early in April. So that'll be coming. The fiscal year 18 budget process. I believe tomorrow was the deadline for principals and administrators to hand in their budgets. So I think there's only a couple stragglers left. So those are pretty well ready. So then we'll begin the process of compiling all that information, setting up a budget committee meeting to look at those numbers and see if we're, you know, if we're good based on our projections, or if we need to send budgets back and, you know, ask for cuts or those kinds of things.
Todd, what sort of items are on those budgets?
So the principals, they turn in a building budget. So their building budget, principals do not they do not budget for their salaries. We don't ask them to try to figure out how much they've got a budget for each of their teachers and aides.
Like.
So they're looking at a budget based on, it's a per pupil budget, and it's basically money that's just basically things that are going to be used for instruction, as well as if there's any might be some minor repairs in the building or those kinds of things could be as well. But so they're going to be turning in things for mainly supplies and some purchase service, maybe like some consultants or those kinds of things.
Professional development.
Yeah. Then the department heads are going to be turning in budgets. That's where it really varies a lot. Various departments are going to have and different consultants involved. You know, for instance, I've got a consultant involved to help with, you know, making sure we're getting the most interest possible on our funds. So I've got a financial advisor. So there's the departments are going to have a various range. Each are going to have some different supply type things. Obviously, the largest budget is the payroll budget. My assistant is really heavily involved in putting that together, all the way down to a detail level of every single employee, what they make. We kind of get together. She goes at that high level of detail and creates a budget. I come from a higher level perspective and kind of trends and those things, and then we compare our two budgets together and see how that hashes out. And if there's a big difference, then we kind of go find out where those differences are. So really all those things add together to culminate to really the kickoff of the five-year forecast process, because we'll get the budget tightened up, and that's what's going to be in the forecast for the fiscal year 18 numbers.
Okay.
And then also we just the other day received the final first half settlement for real estate taxes, so I haven't had time to analyze that, but by the next board meeting we'll have our final revenue numbers for real estate taxes for the year, so that'll be kind of the final, you know, big variable in revenue for the year. So anticipate that to be a little bit of an increase based on the valuation increase, but we'll know more at our next meeting.
Thanks, Bob. Good. Thank you. All right, just a couple things. Heads up on some events coming up here pretty soon. I know tomorrow at the Early College High School, they're going to have a Women in STEM event from 10:30 to 1:30, and Carla Balow is going to be the keynote speaker. She's with Ohio State and Smart Mobility. She's an engineer by trade and an excellent speaker. And then we have an evening of Japanese culture on April 8th. That's a Saturday from 1 to 8. I was kind of surprised. It's a little bit of a longer event this year. And then the heads up for Board Leadership Institute. That's an OSBA seminar type thing, and that's on Friday and Saturday, April 21st and 22nd at the Hilton Columbus at Polaris. And then just kind of wanted to call out that at Edgewood tonight they're hosting a Kernels for Life, Growing Great Kids. And that ties into I think Diane had mentioned that with the high school mentors, that they were getting some training in that. But I think you guys have heard about PACS and the fact we do use PACS. It's a classroom behavioral type program, a good behavior game. And I just wanted to call out the fact that our local mental health and recovery board, they're putting on that training, and our county is really supporting the use of PACS throughout all of the schools in our county. So I just think that's a great partnership and collaborative effort to help our kids and our parents. And then finally, the community coffees. We can talk about that a little bit, but also we need to confirm how many more we're going to have if we're going to break for the summer and everything, so that we can let Donna know and get our website updated. So I was pretty sure. I'll just go ahead and turn it over to you, Nan.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do one in April.
Okay.
And we had just discussed that we'd like to do it in the Raymond area.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to Fifth Street Cafe.
Okay.
So we're working on a location at this point yet. But I think we want to do one in April and then one in May.
Okay.
And we had talked about doing it in one of the local senior
right
living facilities.
Uh-huh.
So we'll get a hold of them and figure out which one, so we can get Donna that information and get the website updated.
Okay.
But we'll probably then take
maybe June and July.
Yep.
Okay.
For
so who's on for April? Remember?
I would like to do it again. Amy and I did this last one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably Dick's turn. So how about myself and Dick?
No,
you want to do
that's
it.
Fine, because I've done, I think, a couple. So, yeah. So Nan and Dick for April.
Yeah.
And then we'll determine May.
Yep.
Later. Okay, that sounds good. And I know, and like you said, you and Amy covered the one this past Saturday,
right.
And you had a couple parents show
up
there.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
We really did. It was two of them. We talked the entire hour.
Right.
Right.
One question just led to another.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very good chance. Those coffees are a great chance to communicate
mm-hmm.
With people that have questions. And it may not be their initial question
mm-hmm.
that they are happy about, mm-hmm. but after they leave, they've addressed like several other issues that they've gotten answers to questions that they didn't even know they were thinking about.
Right.
And the gentleman that was there, mm-hmm. As Nan had said, I think that it will be very interested in coming on board some of our committees.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. I think that's nice, too, because, I mean, I know one of our goals is to make sure that they know the best place to go to ask some of those questions,
right.
too. I mean, we want them to come to us and ask
right.
the questions, but we want them to feel, to learn where to go as well.
Right.
Just feel comfortable. So.
Well, and two of our committee members.
That's right.
Stadium project came out of
right. Remember when the two that were at the coffee that we were at, Jared and Danielle,
yeah,
are both on the committees. Danielle was the marketing person.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's great. Okay, I think that's all I have. And then, you know, Doug couldn't be here tonight, so just kind of some highlights from his report. If you had a chance to look it over, the Marysville highlights. In January, the student of the month was Tabitha Doherty, who's in printing and graphics too. And then they had the state DECA competition. And in case you don't know, DECA stands for Distributive Education Clubs of America. And it's a focus on marketing, business management, finance, hospitality, and tourism. So we had six students from Marysville are going to be competing tomorrow and Saturday at the state competition. And then in the technology side, the BPA competition, which is Business Professionals of America, we had 9 students that placed, and 3 are advancing to the state as well. And then, as Diane alluded, we also have, Doug wanted to, had made a point of stating how we've got the early college high school student who's going to be the first high school intern for Honda, and that was an 8-week program that started March 7th. So I'm guessing that we'll hear an update maybe from a couple people about that whole program. That's pretty exciting. So that's the High Point report. And next, we have our legislative report, Mr. Smith.
The focus right now is the project, House Bill 49. Nan and I had a chance to meet with Gordon Landa. We scheduled a meeting with her. It was originally scheduled for our board office, but got moved to Fairbanks because the student of Fairbanks was appointed to West Point. That kind of came into play a little bit later. But we met with Dorothy, we had what I thought was a very productive meeting. The governor had suggested adding 3 non-voting business people to school boards and externship where teachers would go and spend time in business. And Dorothy expressed reluctance to support either one of those and got a lot of support from those that were in attendance at the meeting. We talked about testing and all the testing that's done. There's some, I think, is it 27 tests that students take during their school career, something along that line. All of the school districts were encouraging no new tests, stay with current tests and the formats of the test,
mm-hmm.
and look very seriously at reducing some of the tests that may not fill a need that are in redundant. And I think Representative Flando was receptive of that. There was a consensus among the schools that there are some issues with College Prep Plus, and we ended up talking about that quite a bit. And Nan attended the legislative conference yesterday, and that was a topic I also participated in a webinar for OSBA stakeholders. There were 20 or 30 of us across the state that participated in that. And so I let Nan touch on the issues with College Credit Plus. But I think we had a real good exchange. You were not able to attend. You were not feeling well.
You didn't want me to attend.
that's right. And I was very glad that you stayed away. We did talk about the Every Student Succeeds Act, which is a federal law that replaces No Child Left Behind. And the focus at the national level was to push decision-making to the state and local board level. Bob Humble, Rich Baird, and myself, and Dan, all encouraged Dorothy to avoid mandates, to allow local school boards a little more involvement, a little more flexibility in making decisions. She did point out that we may want to be careful what we ask for, that with, you know, the response of, you know, with the decision comes the responsibility and so forth. But we said we're not looking, you know, to run amok. We just want a little bit of flexibility in how some of the federal requirements are applied. And I gave the example of the Title I funds that there are specific percentages that can be spent on some different areas, and if the teachers had a little more flexibility, or the principals had a little more flexibility in how those dollars were divided up, it could be more effectively done. So trying to push that. Following the meeting, Jim Jordan came to have his picture taken with
Keith Boggs.
Yeah.
Keith Boggs, yes.
And he was, he had a few minutes, moved a radio presentation that he was supposed to be in. I think he moved it about 15 minutes, and by doing that, he created a nice little impromptu 15, 20 minutes where we have a chance to sit and talk with him. Again, I think we learned a lot of his perspective toward the Department of Education and some of the federal role of education, and again encouraged him to be supportive of education technology. We discussed the technology highway and how, as those companies come in, there's going to be a focus on high-skill, high-technology jobs, and the people that are employed there and the executives of those companies are going to be looking for an education system that matches what their companies are doing, meeting those same high standards, and how we're working very hard to be that school district. So, Nan?
Just one other thing I want to add to that is that we did secure his agreement that he would come back and visit the schools here. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, his schedule is booked through April. May is a very busy month, so maybe September, get him back and have him in at the early college high school, maybe go through, you know, one of the elementary
schools.
He's
been there once before, so I know we talked focusing on elementary school as well.
Whatever's there. And then just a couple of points from the legislative conference. We had many, many speakers from both the Senate and the representative group, varying perspectives shared by all. A couple of key things. The teacher externship has zero support across the board. So that's the only thing that probably all eight speakers that spoke we're in agreement on. Also, the non-voting board member appointees, that seems to have very little support. We're given some homework from Representative Landa which she joined us for lunch on Wednesday also. So we're going to get that to her. But again, neither one of those seem to have no legs. They have no legs is the term that they use. The one thing that I did learn about that I unfortunately wasn't aware of is CAUV, CAVA. And so Andrea Weaver seems to be the contact person to really get up to speed on that. But that could definitely have some serious impact on funding for the school districts based on that activity. So I'm going to do some research into that, along with Dick, of course.
Okay. All right. How about the Safety and Drug Committee report, Ms. Powers?
Okay, well, I got a few things to go over. The access to alcohol environmental scan. Preventing access to alcohol in retail outlets is one of the ways that we have discussed in reducing underage drinking. Youth-to-youth students will be partnering with the Marysville Division of Police to conduct retail scans on Friday, March 17th. Okay. So that'd be tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
This is an opportunity to remind employees about the responsibility to check for identification at each point of sale, as well as to consider where alcohol is potentially at risk for theft, okay, because we've seen a lot of that with where it's placed in the stores. Marysville High School students are sharing the Start Talking message to parents at the Spring Athletic Parent Meeting and Band Concert. Over 30 ambassadors for the 5 Minutes for Life program have been promoting drug-free messages in all three districts. Okay? So they're on top of that. The State of Ohio Board of Pharmacy changes to RX prescribing effective March 1st. A patient or physician can request a pharmacologist to partially fill a Schedule II medication, pain medication, like Percocets, Oxycontin, Vicodin, those type of things. The prescription for each partial fill must not exceed the total quantity prescribed, and the prescription may not be filled later than 30 days after the date on which the prescription is written. The remain of the partially dispensed prescription can only occur at the pharmacy where the original prescription is on file. Okay. So, however, a pharmacist does not have to honor the request, and the insurance provider may have also additional stipulations. So what they're trying to do, because so much is written out at one time, like we as parents can say, oh, they have their wisdom teeth taken out. We don't need 30, you know, hydrocodone. We want 15. Okay?
Gotcha.
And that prescription still stands there at there, but it's a way of cutting down having these prescriptions in the medicine cabinets available.
Right.
When they're
that's
not
to
needed.
Start. That's
and
to
then
start.
Having to take them to, the, you know, get rid of them and all.
Right.
So, I'm happy that they're doing that. I think we've needed to do that for a long time because I think part of our epidemic is over prescribing these meds, and then the kids have access to get them.
Right. Okay. Good. I also want to comment. Dick and I were at the FFA banquet, and Mr. Williams did talk about the Start Talking program there too.
Yes.
So you know it's being shared pretty much everywhere. So yeah,
there. Those they have not let up on that and have really continued it in the schools, which is great. And then the mentoring program, I think that is huge.
Oh yeah, me too.
I think that is huge.
Well, I mean, really, all you have to do is see what happened here
in developing those.
Yeah.
Relationships and everything else, and for the kids to look up to kids that are not involved in doing the drugs and the drinking and things like that. So I think coming the way that we have done this is excellent to these younger kids and bringing them hand in hand through. So
maybe more. All right, next up, need a motion to approve the minutes from our February 16th meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Mrs. Powers.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Root?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And next, we need a motion to change the date of our April meeting. It was originally scheduled for April 20th, but that's the same night as the Chamber of Commerce annual celebration. And so I'd like to make a motion to change our April meeting to April 27th.
Second.
which is a week later in the month. So I make that motion. Do I have a second?
Second
by Ms. Powers. Any other comments or issues with that? I think everybody's okay with that.
Do we want to adjust the coffee or keep the coffee on the original date plan?
If you're covering it, I mean, if the 15th is okay with you, why don't we keep it the 15th? Because
okay.
I think that's, can't remember if that's been on our, can't remember if it's been on our website yet or not.
Isn't that Easter
weekend? Oh, wait, no, you're right. That is Easter weekend. So it probably would make, it would make sense to change it to the 20, to April 22nd.
22nd.
Yeah, April 22nd. Thank you. That's why the week before April 20th wasn't going to work, because it was Monday, Thursday. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we need to update.
Yeah, so the website is going to be, it'll be April 22nd.
Okay.
And, but the location is the next 2 months, I think the location is going to change. Okay. So we need a roll call.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Did she say that? Ma'am?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. With a slight delay. Okay, next item, a motion to approve the treasurer CFO action items. I'll make that motion to approve the treasure items. A second by Mr. Smith.
Not a lot of items on there, just the financials. Financials are still looking pretty good due to some trends where we're saving some money on expenditures, like utilities. The ending balance is growing slightly. Only really other items on there, we've got a couple student activity groups that we're approving on there as well.
Mm-hmm. I get on the cash flow statement. The positive variance up there on the real estate taxes, is that due to giving that in advance on the taxes?
Yeah, so and especially due to trying to invest as much of our money as we possibly could.
Right.
In doing so, we had our balances were actual bank balance of liquid cash was getting a little low, so I had to request more advances earlier than we typically would have, so that just was just a timing difference. Doesn't really impact our total expectation. Just came in sooner than last year.
Okay.
I like to in the activity fund emphasis on foreign culture, trip to Spain, and foreign language club. Those are great things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see that happen.
Yeah.
Okay, roll call.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Motion carries. And next up, we need a motion to approve the superintendent items. Motion by Ms. Powers?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Anything to talk about?
We just have a note, Tammy Cooper's retiring, and as she said, she spent her lifetime here.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly wish her well. She's actually not going away. She's being rehired at High Point and still going to work for in the early college building with our mentorship and internship placements. So even though she's leaving, she's not really leaving, but definitely noteworthy. Tyson Human is leaving us to go work for the city. So we're sad to see him go. And I think Angie Loftus has probably been here about 20 years. So family relocation, but certainly a lot of people who made some positive impact over time here. We have some spring supplementals, volunteers as well. We also have the classified handbook revisions, and you had a one-page update on what the changes were. I think that makes it a little
bit easier. Yes, I always appreciate that, instead of reading through 73 pages or however many pages it is.
Right, so many of those were updates. For example, the drug use at work policy, with changes with marijuana laws, things of that nature. So those are outlined for you as well. The Spanish program, that's what we've done traditionally, no changes right. there. Spanish exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I also thought, did you notice the number of like observations and student teachers and internships we had this time? So mm-hmm. those kind of go up and down for some reason, so mm-hmm. we're excited to bring several of them on this time.
Yeah, that is nice.
We also had, there's tuition increases for the SAC program, as outlined. Those are up for your approval as well. As you know, SAC is kind of is definitely a self-sustaining program for us and haven't had increases in a while in the tuition rates.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it runs on the grant also.
The base program specifically.
Yeah, base.
Right.
Are they going to be putting in an application, hopefully?
Yes, yes. It's already in the works. We did get an update today that there are some interesting cuts at the federal level, and that's one of those where the state receives money to put on those 21st century grants, so we'll just have to wait and see what happens. It may be something the state chooses to do away with. I don't know, since the federal government's making some changes. But again, mm-hmm. just await, those things are, time will tell.
Right.
Yeah, I want to say I had the pleasure of working with Candy for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. She and I were partnered in a master's program long, long years ago. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we have a person that's more dedicated to kids than her. And I am glad that she is going to retire. I'm glad that she's not going away.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well said. Okay, any other questions? Nope. Then a roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now we are at this section where you may make your comments if you so desire.
I have not. Up until this week, past week, I've not had an opportunity to go to the ethical banquet. I was always involved in other things. And it was a very impressive event, very well attended, exciting to see so many great young men and women. Again, just like tonight, the students in the FFA get up and they run the program and they make all the speeches and all the presentations, and we see that over and over again in everything that we do in the district. It's just, it's been busy on the legislative side of things. I hope that our legislators, national and state levels, recognize that education is the key to, you know, creating a workforce, solving some of the issues that they're debating, and I certainly hope that they will continue to support public education.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Michelle. Great presentation on both sides. And it's just, again, it's a part of my heart to see all these kids mentoring other kids that need help and stuff, that has been one of my things I've wanted to see for a long time, and working with the younger kids to bring them up through their system. So thanks for having us, and I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you again for having us. Really appreciate you hosting us. Excellent presentations. Makes me want to go back to, you know, 8th grade history class.
I have a chance to work with some high school kids from the band program this month and next. This local theater group called Silver Scene Players that I work with is doing a play called All My Sons, which is an Arthur Miller play, and it's set in 1946. So I thought, let's put together a swing band, and I know a lot of the kids here in the band program really like doing big band swing, and it happens that the jazz band is not running right now, and so we invited them, and there's quite a few that are going to come and just
join us in the pit and play some Glenn Miller.
Nice.
You
know, nice.
You remember that, Dick?
So Saturday night.
And I wanted to comment, Ms. Koffenberger, I like your attitude about flexibility and let people try new things. And I was very impressed by Mr. Sakamoto putting the time and energy into rethinking that. How do you get kids engaged in the Constitution? And I think experiential learning is one really good way. And I wanted to mention that, we are preparing kids for the workforce and for college, but we're also preparing them to be educated, functioning members of the electorate. Mm-hmm. And I think that going through the Constitution like that is a good step. So kudos to Bunzeld. Mm-hmm. And thanks for hosting us.
Diane reminded me one thing I never didn't really think to mention, and it's not really a major financial item, but it's kind of a good example of kind of how some these legislative changes kind of have an impact, and you're just made aware, and you have to deal with it. There's no really other way around it. An example of that was they just made a change with our AP testing. Free and reduced lunch students get a reduced rate to pay for AP testing. And in the past, that's been covered by, we would actually send in a reimbursement request, and I believe it was a federal fund that would give us that reimbursement. Well, that has been since cut, so now that's basically an expense that we would be eating. Again, it's not a major dollar, but it's one of those things where, this here and then that there, this kind of start to nickel and dime you a little bit and start to add up, but just thought I would bring that up.
Okay. The only thing I would add is we're just really into the staffing process. So we've had our larger meeting where principals have brought needs and numbers and to the table, and we've had discussions about kind of prioritizing. I think you remember last year I told you I'd make them be superintendent for the day and listen to one another's requests, and then they have to submit their own personal priorities and what they would choose for those positions. So we're in the middle of that process. We know that currently we've already added a 0.5 music teacher to help out with the large numbers, particularly at the high school, when the early college and high school come together for the choir. So we're able to increase a current staff member that's half-time at Creekview to full-time. So we're in that process now. We'll continue to push forward and keep you updated with that.
Okay. That kind of reminded me of the, I know at the community coffee, somebody was asking about numbers at Northwood, like in a specific classroom, and we talked a little bit about the whole redistricting process, because you look out there and you see all those houses being built, and people start saying, well, when are you going to need a new building and stuff? Well, I mean, our redistricting took a lot of that into account and left Northwood really a lot lighter than the other elementary buildings. Intentionally, right, because we saw the growth there. So,
yeah, and just, across the district, we're really kind of flat enrollment-wise. Mm-hmm. We're not seeing significant spikes, so why you see those things, most likely we're seeing a lot of families move from one area to another area in Marysville. Mm-hmm. So staffing-wise, we're not having huge spikes, so there wouldn't be significant increases that way. Mm-hmm. Maybe shifts within the district, depending on that. So,
Okay. Do we do a yearly update on that?
Yeah, we monitor that. It's already being monitored for next year. So
I just wondered, do we do it here in a particular board meeting?
No, that's something that we do at our level. I give you updates on class size, number of kids enrolled in that level, those type of things as we move forward.
I also wanted to thank you, Mrs. Kaffenbarger. I love coming to your building, and I'm actually one of my roles with OSBA that I've not been very active in. That's the Student Achievement Liaison Person. SALT is the acronym, and I'm not even completely sure what that last one is. But you know, I just look at some of the programs going on throughout our district, but certainly today I think we're two excellent examples of ways that, I mean, the statistics, the data that they shared with us with that mentoring is, that's unbelievable, you know. And as a parent, I say, why aren't you listening to me? I've told you the same things, you know, but it's just different coming from their peer. So, again, I appreciate everything that you've done here, and you have a great staff and great students, so thank you very much for that. And, of course, tomorrow is, wait, before I say that, I just noticed that, I think I saw this on the Chamber of Commerce, but Columbus 2020 said that the Columbus region is number 8 in the nation for top metros for new and expanded facilities, which kind of leads into our own innovation park that the city's working on and ties into this whole idea of having students that we're preparing for the jobs of tomorrow. And I just think it's so exciting because we have at our chamber retreat, our school district was brought up several times when we were talking about collaboration and partnerships and opportunities and what a great job we're doing working as a team. And so I just wanted to bring that up. And then, because my last name is Divine, I would have to say, have a great St. Patrick's Day tomorrow, right? Already, I have my corned beef and cabbage ready and waiting to be made. So, have a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Powers. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Divine?
Yes. Motion carries, and we are adjourned.